Welcome to the first of 10,000.
Yeah, we'll go for that.
DP podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
We're here. We're excited.
Setting sights high. And I'm excited.
I feel like there's a lot of podcasts out there, but it's about time we had one.
I think so. Yeah, the people have spoken and they want a DP podcast.
Right.
We're going to give it to them.
We're going to give it to them. Everyone asks me all the time, where do you guys go? Where do you guys do? Things like that. I'm sure they ask the same thing of you.
Totally. And I call it like the show behind the show. Like all the stuff that doesn't make the show on TV is kind of a whole nother episode in itself. And that can live here now.
Yes. Where do you get your ideas? How do you guys plan? Where are you going next? Can I come?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
My answer is always no. Kidding. We do bring lots of people. So we're in the middle of the season right now.
Yeah. Ocotillo Wells just aired.
Did it this last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. SoCal.
That was, show 8. Oh my gosh. We're past the middle of the season.
Yeah. I know. It's weird. It's hard to wrap your head around, but yeah.
So we have 13 shows. That was show number 8. So we still have 5 more new episodes to go.
Yep.
And they all feature you.
The last 5?
Kidding.
Oh, I'm like, what? Like, I only shot 5. No.
No, so we had Ocotillo Wells, and then Rockford Fosgate, and Utah, and Rugged, and Vegas, and
Texas,
Project X.
Yeah, we just wrapped filming the last episode of the season.
How was that?
It was great. It was so fun. You know, went in, I had never worked with this group, Resurrection Industries, before, and we showed up. I mean, it was actually flash flooding in Texas. It was pouring rain pretty much all week. But that's rain equals mud, and Texans love their mud, so it worked out okay. But we ended up building this amazing mudding machine, is what we called it, the Texas mudding machine. And it turned out it exceeded my expectations by all means. I'll say that. And was totally awesome.
You been down to Texas before for a shoot?
Not for DP, no.
It's different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Texas it's a thing. Yeah. The culture down there is very strong. I mean, talking to these guys about riding, I've never ridden in Texas. So, every single person kind of answers, we like them big and we like them loud and we want to stand out and we want it to be obnoxious. And that's their thing. And it's kind of fun.
That's totally the case. Now, you guys had a Ranger?
A Ranger.
Ranger crew, like a North Star?
A Ranger crew is an XP.
Yep.
And it does not look like a Ranger anymore. You would never know that that's the machine that we started with, which is pretty cool that they can transform something like that. But, usually when people are souping something up, it's the Razor, but this was really cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And you guys went riding. Did you go to River Run?
No.
You went somewhere different.
It actually was raining so much that they shut down River Run. They were shutting it down that weekend. So we just rode on site. They have a couple big ponds and like fun little like water chutes and stuff. So we just rode right on the property there.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. And they were stoked because they're like, cool. Then we don't have to drive 6 hours. But it ended up working out perfectly.
Very nice.
Just to do it right there.
So that's the last show of the season. Currently, let's see here. We've got the remaining 5. And then if you haven't caught any of the shows, they'll all re-air from July, August, and through September.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
For the rest of the summer.
Doubling down.
How you felt about this year?
It went so fast. Yeah. Really, really fast. But I feel like we were, efficient. And with everything going on in the world, we made the best of what we could. And it was awesome.
Right. We filmed 20 episodes in the midst of the pandemic.
Pretty impressive.
I remember being on a Delta flight a few months ago, and they come down the aisle, and if you fly enough, you're...
They come and nudge you
and be like, hey, thanks for flying with us all the time. And the woman comes by and she goes, Mr. Christie, and I'm watching a movie or something. I take up my headphones and I'm like, yeah. And she goes, we just want to thank you for flying during the entire pandemic.
During the entire pandemic.
And I was like, you're welcome.
Yeah. Is that a compliment or are you really thankful?
Yeah. And then I was like, do I get a free drink ticket out of this or something? She goes, no, we're not serving drinks any longer.
Yeah.
So just a pat on the back and a high five.
Yep.
It's like right on. Cool.
One thing I will note is that I got rained on in like the desert 3 times this season. So very unusual things were happening. Everywhere I went, people were like, this is never, it's never been like this. So in Arizona, rained in the desert. We're up in the mountains and rained kind of one whole day. And then Southern California in the desert, in Ocotillo Wells, we got like this crazy little, I don't even know, there's a name for it. You'd probably know because you're from there. But when the storm just rolls in, it dumps and then it's gone.
Oof.
Super windy. It was actually pretty scary because we were on top of a mountain at the time. And my photographers were running around with no shelter and there were things flying around and it was just kind of intense. But now it's a good story. We all survived. And then in Texas, when I was like, is this normal? You know, I've been to Texas many, many times, but I've never been rained on for 5 days straight. And they're like, no, of course not. Of course it's not normal. You guys are here, and so it's got to do something crazy. So we had some crazy weather, but that also kind of makes the story interesting. We just have went with it every time.
So you had the pandemic and the black cloud.
Right. Yes. Yes, I did.
Nice. 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, it snowed everywhere we went. Even in like late September, early October, times where we're usually up in the mountains because the weather is pretty stable and normal, it snowed. I was like, I give up on this season. It was just 2 years ago, it was the season of like stinky weather.
I'd take rain over snow. Yeah, I just don't like being cold.
Ooh.
And I have my Polaris rain gear, which I got to use for the first time in Arizona. I'm like, I'm so happy I brought my rain gear to the desert.
See, I'd rather
and that stuff works perfect.
Prep for the cold, but rain we can't film in, so we're just like, boop, if we filmed in the snow lots.
This was, I guess, a rain that was tolerable for filming. Yeah, so we made it work.
What's been your favorite episode this year? You know what you do, actually? Let's go through the 13, talk about them real quick, and then we can talk about our favorites, because we went to a lot of places. So kick off the season with an overlanding journey in Washington, and then you went to Virginia for the second one. Then you're in Missouri, which was interesting for you, because we did some hunting shows this year, which we typically haven't done.
Totally.
First Project X was with SDR Motorsports, which we'd done some stuff with them in the past, hadn't for a while, so that was cool. Texas Hunt. Another hunting episode, and I got to hunt down there with my dad, so that was fun.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, and we'll get to that, right? Sure. Right? Your Arizona one.
That's why my dad was like, he's mad. I didn't know why he's so mad at me. He's like, I'm so mad. You have to tell your co-host, I'm so mad and so jealous that I didn't get to go hunting in Texas. And I was like, well, you know, we're not always bringing our dads along. And I think he was a little confused, and I was a little confused. Now I know why.
There you go. There you go. We live like 30 minutes away, so it worked out well. Then you guys went to KOH, and I went to Mexico, and that's full-on racing episodes. We got King of the Hammers and Dakar, which I thought was great, just because you were racing all over the world, more or less. Then you got Ocotillo Wells, which is out west, one of the most famous places to go off-roading. We did a shoot with Rockford Fosgate. Project X. My ears are still ringing, so that's nice. Utah Adventure, which is always fantastic, shoots in Utah. The Rugged Project X, which you just filmed a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Then the Las Vegas show we did with the Romo family, who's a racing family out there in the desert, and they couldn't be any nicer. They're awesome. And then the one you just shot, Resurrection Industries. So
yeah, another Project X.
Out of your destination rides, which one sort of...
I think... The crew that we had in Arizona, I mean, I didn't work with anyone this year that I was not stoked to be with, but it just was a group. We had a big group of people who didn't necessarily know each other, and everyone kind of got along really well, and it was just fun and cool. We did three entirely different locations there too, so we got to see a ton.
And you were all close to were close to the city, right? I mean, that was the big part of it, right?
Yeah, it was all, I mean, we stayed in Phoenix, which is, you know, not typical for when you're doing an off-roading trip, maybe a day trip, but this was, we stayed right in central Phoenix and were able to drive three different directions and hit really cool off-roading spots. So that was probably one of my favorites, but one of the things I liked about this season is we did so many different things. So like you mentioned, the hunting, down in Missouri, which we were at one of the top waterfall hunting lodges in North America, Habitat Flats.
Right.
And then, you know, getting to go to KOH. That was my first time at King of the Hammers, and that's a trip. That's a fun one. So it was just cool to get to do a lot of different things.
What was your experience at King of the Hammers like for someone who hasn't been to King of the Hammers? And a lot of people have heard about it. A lot of people out west have go to it or gone to it. But for anyone maybe Midwest or on the East Coast, yeah, that's a haul to get all the way out there. But it's not a one-day event.
No. So, yeah, it's north of Palm Springs, California. And we were only out there for, I think, 3 total days. But the event goes on for close to 2 weeks. I will say it's very shocking when you first drive over this like hill and all of a sudden you're in the middle of nowhere and then there's, I don't know, 200,000 people and thousands of RVs, and it's just kind of shocking. I didn't know how big it was. And then you go and it's just people hanging out in their RVs, people off-roading, the race happening. I mean, at night you're sitting there and you're watching people climb up the mountains and their lights are on, and it's just, it's, you know, it's like a festival. It's like a music festival. Everyone describes it as the Burning Man of the off-roading world. And it was just really cool. A lot of people having fun. I mean, the people that are there, that's their jam. And they love it. And they live it. And they're amongst, you know, everyone's like-minded. And it's just really fun.
I remember us going through what we were going to do for that. And we had you going one place and then another place. Yeah. And then last minute, okay, now you're going to the King of the Hammers. Yeah. Because I think the Mint 400 got moved to the fall. Like, you're going to the King of the Hammers. You're like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I mean, it was, I think, like 5 days before we left. And Troy and I, the photographer, and I were both like, all right, we're in for it. Like, let's do it. And we got there. And I ended up running into some old wakeboarding friends who were running the media and the security and everything. And then I ran into some photographers that I knew. So it was kind of fun to, they were able to point us in the right direction. And then we obviously linked up with Casey Curry, who was riding in a number of the events, including the side-by-side portion. And his whole entire team is just awesome. Yeah. So they, you know, took care of us and we got to spend time with them and do some interviews with Casey. And it was just pretty rad.
Cool. You get to meet some awesome people. I know in Virginia, you got to hang out with the Razor Nation crew, and they are very big on the East Coast. And that is a group of people who just live, breathe the outdoors.
100%. And again, it's kind of like the Texas thing where Texas has their thing. And then this group in Appalachia,
You better say it right.
They taught me that. They're very proud of me. They have their own thing too. And what was cool about that trip is we were camping as well, or kind of glamping, but you know, we were camping and we got to see a ton of elk. Like, we got to see a lot of really cool things in the outdoors too. So it wasn't just about the machines. It was like really the immersive experience, which was really, really cool.
Very nice.
What was your favorite trip?
Ooh, gosh, that's a great question.
Okay, we'll talk just this season. What was your favorite?
Yes, it is. It's, I get the question often. So, yeah. Season, let's see. From a personal standpoint, you mentioned the Texas hunt, going hunting with my dad. That was fun because we haven't gotten to do a lot of stuff like that over the years. And both groups of hunting places that we went to, we're very big on introducing the early onset hunters, people who were, you know, didn't really grow up hunting.
Yep.
And now are in their 40s or whatever, and they got kids and like, wow, maybe I could do this with my kids, but you know, I don't want to shoot anybody. So
yeah.
That's always my number one rule when I get there. I was like, raise my hand. I'm like, I have an announcement to make. If we get through this day without me shooting you or me shooting myself,
it's a successful hunt.
Successful hunt. So far, every hunt
safety
has been
first.
Very successful. Yes, safety first. So south of Austin, and my dad lives outside of Austin. So does my sister. And so we met up at Spoke Hollow was the name of the place, Spoke Hollow Outfitters. Cool. And Josh there couldn't be any nicer and host us out there for a day. And we hunted chukar out there, which my dad had never done. He'd grown up in Kansas hunting and things mm-hmm. like that, but he had never hunted chukar before.
And chukar's a small bird.
Fairly small. I mean, yeah. It's pigeon size or something like that. It's not like a dove where it's even smaller, but it's fairly small, and they're out running around on the ground, and the dogs will flush them up and off they go. The fun part about that shoot was before we got started, we went to the top of the hill, and when you're outside of Austin, it's Texas Hill Country. It's not flat Austin, or it's flat Texas like you would think it would be. And so we're going to do some just some sporting clays to start off the morning before we go out. And we're up on this ridge, so they're shooting the clays out. They just kind of go out into the distance, which messes with your eyes a little bit.
Right.
So I was like, Dad, why don't you go first? And there's a group of us. We got Quail Forever with us. We got the crew with us. There's 15 people there. He goes, Dad, why don't you go first? And I could tell he's a little nervous. You know, I just see it. And he must have missed like the first 10. miss. And then finally hit one, then finally hit a couple. So I was like, okay. So it's like, you go next. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, oh, I got to follow him. I was like, I don't want to miss the first 10.
Right.
Pull, bang, pull, bang, pull, bang, pull, bang. I knock off like the first 4 in a row.
No way.
And I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. All right.
I'm good. And then when we went hunting, it was the complete opposite.
Yeah.
It was complete opposite. Get me on the driving range 300 yards down the middle all day long. Right. Right.
Exactly.
Totally. And I couldn't hit anything. And then I think my dad shot a couple. And then so it was a fun
But it was
day.
A successful hunt because.
It's successful hunts for many reasons. And of course, we got the Quail Forever guys there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're like trick shooting almost.
Yeah.
Behind the back, over the shoulder.
Totally.
No, I'm kidding. But I mean, they weren't missing very often.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yep, that was the same when I was down in Missouri. It's like, I'll let you guys do it.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you just, I'll host the show and you guys do what you do best.
That's usually my way to be like, I got to make sure everything's going off okay. Yeah. So why don't you guys handle all the shooting and I got to do the producing and make sure our guys are getting what they need and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You guys handle the shooting.
Yeah.
And we did that at the first one. We had so many people. I was like, I don't even need to.
Right. Well, that's a whole nother thing. Even sometimes, I mean.
So that one was fun. I would say our overlanding journey, we've been talking about doing something that for years, and that's become a bigger thing for everybody.
Yeah.
Is getting out and going a little farther, a little more remote, and bringing tents and sleeping bags. And can I do this for an overnight versus going back to the truck, trailer, home, hotel, stuff like that. So we camped out for 2 nights in the Washington Cascades. And didn't see anybody for a couple of days.
Which is, I mean, you're out there.
Right, right. It was funny. We went with a Full Throttle Battery, Ian Blongren from them. And
I met him in.
Yes.
At Rugged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ian's great
really
guy.
Really cool.
Yes. And he, I think if he could be allowed to do that full time, he would.
Yeah.
His family might not think that's great, but I think he would be like, because he had spent, by the time we were there, and we were there in August, 30 days outside that year, you know, camping out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing about, because you never know the people that you're going riding with, so you never know what sort of, and you've experienced this, where people want to take you and show you everything in one day. And when we're out there filming, that's hard to do because we have to stop and get the cameras out and stuff like that. But they want to take you, let's go all the way here, let's go all the way there. And that was Ian on the first day. He was just like, we're here, we're here, we're here.
Yeah.
And I remember we're going to a fire tower for our first shoot, and we get in the vehicle and we take off, and he just takes off and he goes to the fire tower.
You're like, well, we kind of need, we're making a TV show too.
Yeah. So I was like, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but you got to hang with us.
Right.
It's like, you just left. And you're the leader, and we kind of got lost. We couldn't,
we didn't know
where we were going. So, but we got to our first place, and it was almost dark by the time we got to where we were camping.
Yeah.
And so we quickly set up the tents, and we're filming, and we're trying to make dinner and all this sort of stuff. And he says something to me. He's like, yep, if I've been out here 30 nights this year, there hasn't been a single time that I haven't set up in the dark.
There you go.
And I was like, noted for tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. So we'll be starting 2 hours earlier.
And I was like, noted for tomorrow when we decide to go one last location. We'll set up camp. You see how far away it is.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did. He had one spot he wanted to go. And I just was like, why don't you go see while we set up camp and start cooking dinner? And then he came back and he's, oh, it's a couple hours from here. I was like, nope, we're just going to do our thing from here. But that was fun because you really get to hang out with people and that sort of fashion and get to know them when you're sitting around the fire. So that was fun. And it's pretty remote. We're all, the Cascades are all the way on the eastern side of Washington. You're closer to Spokane.
Sure.
Or Coeur d'Alene than you are anything else. So that was a fun one. Our, looking at our list here, our Utah was great because that, when you said, where's your, you know, the question I get more than anything else is, where's your favorite place to ride?
Yep.
I don't know if you get that when you're out.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Yes. Every trip.
Yes. They want to know because we're going all over the country.
Right.
So they ask me all the time, and hands down, my answer is Utah every single time because the diversity in Utah beats almost anything else. It feels like you're riding in a national park the entire time.
Right. So just Utah in general, like multiple trips, doesn't matter where you're at.
Doesn't matter where you're at in Utah because you can, like southern Utah, even if you're not an off-roader, if you look down in southern or southwest Utah, the number of national parks that you'll find in that area are off the charts. And imagine just being able to ride in the proximity of those national parks, but still feel like national parks because you just have red rocks and you have blue skies and you have green brush and just, and the colors are always just magnificent and vibrant. So we did our shoot near Fillmore, Utah, which I'd never been, which is smack dab in the middle of the state of Utah. It was actually the first capital of Utah a short time, but like just like dropping the old poop right in the middle. And they have these right outside. We rode from town, which is always fun to do. It's not too often you can do those sort of things. But rode right from town and went to these lava tubes. And so you could drive right up to them and walk underneath and then through them.
Oh, wow.
To the other side. And the first one we went to, it must have been as long as a football field. It wasn't like 10 feet.
Right.
It was 100 yards
underneath
this lava tube. So thousands of years ago, lava had, you're in Utah, lava, not what you're thinking, right? So thousands of years ago, this volcano had erupted and created these underground sort of tubes with the molten lava, and you can sort of drive up to them and walk right through them, which is really cool, and there's a bunch of them. Half hour outside of town.
Yeah.
Super easy. And then a bunch of other sort of lava formations out there. And then an area where they've just got natural hot springs, and you just ride right up to it, jump in the water. It was like 90 degrees and you just hang out. And a couple of them were bigger than others and deeper than others and just hang out. And I'm just like, this is all right there.
Right.
And then we went to southern Utah. We went to Leeds or near Hurricane, Utah, which is, you're starting to get closer to Bryce and some of those other places down there, Zion, things like that. And it's just all red rock and sand and gorgeous and things
so
like
diverse.
That. It's just awesome all the time. You can't have a bad shoot in Utah. You just can't. And so it's why they hold events like Rally of the Rocks there and Moab area, because it's just...
So what I'm gathering is that I won't be doing any shoots in Utah. so long as you're on the show.
Usually I would say you'd be doing no shoots in California because that's where I grew up.
Right.
And I was going to say, I've let you. but you have done a few shoots out in California.
I have. Yeah.
Yes.
The SoCal trip.
Yes.
And rugged stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So funny.
I know. So how is Rugged's new location? They've been talking about it for years. Obviously, Rugged's been involved in the show for a really long time.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. And they've been in this tiny building forever. And now they built this mega, not even complex, I guess, but like different...
It's kind of a complex.
Okay, yeah.
It's like campus.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Rugged University.
Okay.
I would say if you know anything about this brand, they go all out on everything. They're also very efficient and they can come up with an idea and get it done real fast. So they're extreme, and their new complex is just that. I mean, they have a huge showroom and offices, which, you know, not a detail was overlooked, right down to, you know, the mats that people are going to stand on are like good for your back, and they've got toolboxes as desks and all this really amazing, thoughtful stuff, state of the art. And then they have a shop, a large shop, which is where we did our Project X build. Next to that, there is a car museum because they have lots and lots of toys.
Which houses a bunch of the Project X
vehicles
you can from years past.
You can see just about every Project X build that we've done. And then, you know, plenty of his other stuff that he's accumulated over the years, which is also very, very cool. Next to that, there's an art studio Greg wants, you know, the employees to be able to go kind of get creative and draw and paint and do all kinds of stuff to just keep them, you know, efficient and keep them re-energized, I guess. And then can't forget, they have their very own taco and coffee shop.
It's now, was that ready taco. Yet?
It was not.
Okay.
No, it was not going. They're actually having Guy Fieri from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. His team is designing it. And then they'll actually be shooting an episode there.
Nice.
Once it's done.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
So it's going to be very cool. It was not finished when we were there. But
now, a lot of Rugged Radios is in Arroyo Grande, California.
Yes.
And you hear Arroyo Grande, but you're not sure where that is. But it's right next to Pismo Beach.
Right.
And so for people who don't know where Pismo Beach is at, because they may have heard of it, a lot of people have heard of Glamis, obviously, but not so much Pismo Beach. Tell people where Pismo Beach is at and what it's like.
Yeah. It's number one, absolutely magical. It's in the Central Coast of California. So southwest of San Luis Obispo. That's the nearest airport or larger town. And it is, you know, when you think California, or at least when I do, a lot of the first things that I think of is like density. People usually just think of LA, or they're thinking San Diego, or they're thinking San Francisco. And this is in an area where there's space to roam, there's places to go. But it's this whole time we were on at the actual beach, when we went down there on the last day, it was, we're on the beach, beautiful ocean, obviously the Pacific Ocean there, dunes, sand dunes right on the beach. And then we're looking at these like rolling green hills, you know, with hardly any homes on them, but just beautiful. So it's not anything like you really expect when you hear California or anything in between, you know, LA and San Francisco. So it's a very, very special place. And anytime you can have access to dunes and be able to ride and camp right on the beach, that's super unique and very rare. So that's super special.
There's a lot happening right now.
Yes.
At the dunes there in Pismo Beach. Can you kind of fill us in on what's going on?
Sure. And I'm not an expert, but I definitely learned a lot this last trip, and it's quite sad what's happening there. So Arroyo Grande, too, this is where the dune buggy was invented. So their whole culture is car culture, off-roading. This is really what brings people in, you know, and on the weekends, and gets people together and gets families together. And they've always had this very large area in the sand dunes right on the beach to camp and off-road. It's public. And over the past 25 years, I'm not sure the exactly which regulating group is doing this, but they are shutting down the dunes to public. So not only can you not off-road, but you can't camp either, which is really, really devastating for a lot of the people, one, who love off-roading with their families, two, grew up there, and it's just such a huge part of the culture. And also, you know, not having that draw into town is really hurting businesses. And so right now they are down to, I think it's less than like 1 mile stretch of the dunes, which is just a fraction of what it used to be. That is available, and that's being threatened to being shut down as well. So we, the last Project X that we did, we got together with the group Friends of Oceano Dunes. They're trying to keep, you know, a portion of the dunes open for off-roading and for camping, and you know, to kind of keep that culture alive. And so it's an interesting situation. And one thing that the guys at Rugged brought up many times is, you know, if Pismo Beach gets shut down, it's just kind of the precursor for many other off-roading public lands to get shut down as well. So they really want to save this, not only just for Pismo Beach itself, but for the off-roading community.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. And if you haven't been there, you don't realize how much that matters to the city and the town and the people mm-hmm. right there. And it's not just the off-roaders. It's the campers out there. And,
yeah.
You know, there's tons of people that come to Pismo Beach because it's one of the few places that feel still like the 50s, 60s, 70s
totally.
Out there. It's a throwback to another time, the times where you could have a little more, I don't want to say freedom, but just access to places, especially like California, where there's
tends
to be not as much access as other places.
Yeah.
And it still is. So it is a big fight, and it does matter to them a lot. And if you don't know anything about it, you can do just a little, go to Friends of Oceana Dunes.
Yep, and ruggedradios.com has a ton of information as well on their site. Perfect. So either one of those places. Perfect.
That's hopefully we keep our fingers crossed that, and it's fun. It's great for us to have a little bit of involvement in that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean?
People use our Project X vehicles as a platform for many things, whether it's doing what Rugged's doing or different ways to those vehicles go everywhere.
Yep.
They go all over the country. People often, why do you do so many Project X's? I'm like, because they're such a big influencer in the off-road culture. You know, show up at the Sand Show in Southern California this fall, and you'll see a ton of our Project X vehicles there on display at many of the builders we've used over the years. And it's awesome. It always makes me feel good. I'm like, oh, that's from the show. That's from the show. That's from the show. That's from the show.
And they're always, they're always just awesome.
The top of the machines. The top of the machines. Well, you were talking about outside, and Polaris has a big initiative in June, because June 12th is National Outdoors Day.
Get Outdoors
Day. Get Outdoors Day.
Get on out there.
Get Outdoors Day.
That is right. They have an initiative coming up where they just really want people to get offline.
Right.
They want people to get outside. Their slogan is Think Outside, and they really are that to the core. So there are a number of ways where you can find out information. But if you want to be an offliner, you can go to polaris.com/thinkoutside. And then you basically just take a pledge that you're going to get outside on June 12th. And
it is a Saturday.
It is a Saturday. So no excuses.
No excuses.
Maybe you have to work, but you probably don't.
Yep.
Even if you do have to work, before or after work is great time to get outside as well.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's the middle of the summer. Things are a little more open than they used to be. So you have no excuses to get outside that day and do something fun. We do stuff outside I can imagine what you might be on Saturday, June 12th. I'm going to find you.
Take a guess.
On the lake. Most likely.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I will definitely be on the lake on June 12th.
Yes.
So I will be offline and thinking outside.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I will probably be doing the same.
There you go.
Somewhere, especially if it's nicer that day, taking the boat out and being on the lake.
Yeah.
Yes. We're here in Minnesota. You have to get on the lake.
Correct.
And that's just a general term, by the way. We have lots of lakes. You just get on a lake.
Yep. Doesn't matter which one.
Nope. Doesn't matter which one.
As long as you're out there.
Cool. Awesome. Well, this was fun.
Maiden voyage.
Maiden voyage. Yeah. We didn't crack the bottle of champagne over something like hang over the pile or something. Not yet. Okay. We'll do that after we're done.
I mean, it is 10:15 in the morning.
Fair enough.
Well, I can't wait to continue these chats. It's super fun to be able to share, like I said, our experiences. Not everything makes it onto TV, so I know a lot of people are curious what happens behind the scenes, so excited to share.
Yes, we'll be having an episode every other week. And so we're getting more in depth. I know we just covered kind of general about some of the rides we went on, but I think we'll get more in depth about some of the shows, some of the locations, where you can find some more information on those rides and how to go about them, because we travel all over the country.
That's right.
That's right. Okay. Did you have fun?
Yeah. It's a great time.
Cool.
Can't wait.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right. Right on.